You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Big announcements this morning. Okay, no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Acts today, chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, good morning. We have a handout coming around, so hopefully you'll get one. Let's start with prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now today. Thank you for the time we get set aside here to study your word. Thank you for Right Division and the blessing of coming in the word and studying Rightly Dividing. And we thank you for the ministry we have here at Northside Bible Church. We thank you we're able to minister online, and we're thankful that it's your words being heard everywhere. And hopefully they listen to it and they embrace it and study it and make it their own, Lord. So we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you do. For Christ and we pray in name, we ask it, amen. So the question is, what road are you on? And you might think it's kind of a funny question, but we're all on a road somewhere. We're on a journey. And, you know, for my family, we're coming to a certain junction. We're going to go on a new path because Carter's going to graduate high school. And he's going to college, you know. And found out he just got a job yesterday. He got hired out at Kingsburg Golf Course. And it was funny, his, you know, I've been trying to get him to get a job every summer for 3 years now. And he would go apply one place, and he wouldn't get the job. I said, Carter, what you have to do is apply to 50 places to get you 10 interviews, and hopefully you get one job. Well, invariably, he didn't get that math, you know. But lo and behold, last week he was on the state championship golf team at CHA. And they went and played 52 holes in Hinton, Oklahoma. And I was able to go out there Monday to see the 52 holes. And of course, I rented a cart. And I'm putting around and taking photos. And after that was over, they went to a dinner. And I saw his camaraderie with the team. And he got an award there. They also had the spring athletic banquet on Tuesday night. Then he got an award. It was one of four awards that are given to an athlete on a certain team. And he got the team purpose award. Well, you know, his comment was, well, you know, that means I'm probably not that good. I'm always getting team purpose awards. I said, Carter, you're good, son. And it's not about being good, because the coach will tell him, I don't care what you shoot. You need to be a good character and a good witness to the other teammates you're paired up with, that they might see Christ in you. And, of course, he had a great story, because there was a certain player from somewhere in Oklahoma who had a potty mouth, and he was running on, and Carter was witnessing to him. And he made a comment about, you know, you're just too happy. You know, you come up to this par four, and your ball goes this way, and it's the woods, and you're happy. What's up with that? So he was able to witness from that standpoint. But, you know, this is an important time because I took him to lunch and I was explaining, hey, you know, Carter, this is a critical point in your road. You're at a point now, you're 18, you're graduating high school, you've been accepted to college, now you've got a job. By the way, it's the Kickenberg Golf Course, so if you want to go out there and shoot some balls, Carter will be in the cart picking them up. So aim for the little cart. So he went on the interview, and he came back, he said, Dad, I said, how'd it go? You know, give me the details. He said, went well. I said, went well. Okay, give me more. Well, what kind of question did he ask? And the guy that interviewed him said, he obviously had more questions, but he had one question. He said, son, what do you think about cell phones? Well, Carter's response was, well, for me, I'm going to leave my cell phone in my car because you're employing me to work, not to text. And this guy's response was, son, that's the best answer I've heard all day. Now, he was one of 12 kids that were interviewed for the job. He came back, and of course I thought, you know, please Lord, hire him, you know, on the spot. Well, he came back to Dad, and there were 12 guys that were interviewed for the job. And he said, I'll call you next week. And of course, Carter leaves Monday for Boston for 8 days. So, well, you know, take your cell phone with you. He'll call you in Boston. Well, he called within the hour and hired him. And I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, what an answer to prayer. But, you know, he's on this junction. This road is starting to get bigger, have more traffic. And hopefully with the proper Christian character, he'll read the road signs and behave the traffic and, you know, keep his path straight. But what road are you on? You know, from a champion family, we're on this road. It's kind of changing here, and we're trying to, you know, get excited about that and take the next step. Well, there are many examples in Scripture about a road and being traveling on that road. And one of my favorite is in Acts chapter 9, the famous road to Damascus. Now, Saul of Tarsus was a zealous Jew, and he was going around making sure that Christians who professed that faith paid the price. Now, if you in Acts chapter 9, back up, and you'll see in chapter 8, verse 1, we just had seen the great testimony of not Peter, but so anyways, they were hearing this testimony and they stoned him. And they said, basically, after I read away verse 1, he said Saul was consenting unto his death. So in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So fast forward to chapter 9, verse 1. Saul of Tarsus went to the priest and asked for letters of authority to go to Damascus and find another Christian's way so he could bind them, no matter if they were male or female. Let me go in and snag them up, bring them back, and they can receive the same punishment that was received in chapter 8. Stoned to death. So Saul was a very zealous Jew. So we see here he's on the road to Damascus. And in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Hard from thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, Lord, what would thou have me do? Now, here Saul had been so zealous to persecute Christians. And here Jesus came to him on the road to Damascus. and got his attention, what would you have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. So, the Lord really didn't give an answer right away. You know, go into the city, somebody will tell you what you must do. But, boom, stop what you're doing and respond. Well, there were a couple of guys with him. Now, we don't know the names of those two guys with him, but they saw the light, they heard a voice, and I would imagine they were of the same persuasion Paul was. You got to think about who these two guys with Paul saw at the time. And all of a sudden, Saul is struck down, hearing voices. Now, perhaps the two that were with him, it says here in verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So they heard the voice. Now, you know, if you hear a voice, you don't know here if they actually heard what it was said. You know? Now, here are two guys of the same persuasion of Saul of Tarsus going to Damascus with this letter from the priest giving him authority to capture Christians and bring him back bound to receive the punishment that Stephen had in chapter 8. So they heard voices. The question is, did they hear what? Maybe they heard what was said, but since the Lord didn't say what Saul was supposed to do, they were clueless. Now, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blinded. So stop what you're doing. Go to Damascus. Somebody will come tell you what you should do. And when he gets up, he can't see. So what better impact on Saul of Tarsus, who was a man driven to go get Christians? Boom, stop redoing. This is the Lord. Go hear what you're supposed to do. Somebody will come tell you. And go. Well, the two guys that were with him led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Verse 9. And he was there 3 days without sight. He didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. Now he's blinded. He's not eating and drinking for 3 days. You know, an amazing event has happened here to Saul. In verse 10, there were certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias said, behold, I am here. What do you want? Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And I've seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, here we see the 3 days where he was blinded. He didn't eat or drink. He was praying. And the Lord certainly heard the prayer. So here, Ananias said, verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Surely you jest, because this guy's a bad dude. He's got the authority from the chief priest, and if I go see him, I'm going to be bound and taken back and stoned by Stephen, like Stephen was. And the Lord said, look, verse 15. He said to him, go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went his way and entered the house. Putting his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, hath sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from him his eyes as men scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, for he is the Son of God. Okay, so here's Saul, who was breathing threatenings and slaughter against Christians, had the authority from the chief priest to go capture Christians, and all of a sudden he shows up preaching Christ as the Son of God. Now, if you were me, if I was a Jew and I went to the synagogue and I heard about this guy, I'd go, what? Surely this guy is setting up a trap. He's trying to trap us in. And we'll go, yay, Jesus. And all of a sudden these chief priest guys come in and bind us and take us away. So I'm not really trustworthy here. But the Lord had a certain purpose for him to the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Now, you fast forward to 2 Timothy, the last book chronologically written in the Bible, and you see what Paul talked about to us as Christians today, the road we're presently on as a Christian. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, as the webmaster for Right Division, it's a blessing that I get to have interaction with people that come to the site and send questions and post comments. And as I was reviewing the guest book, there was a certain entry made on May 10th by a guy named Brandon Mosley. And he wrote, I made an account a couple of weeks ago. I typed a brief description profile, username Brandon Mosley. I cannot describe the blessings bestowed upon me since I found all about Acts 28. So much confusion had truly been lifted. In a nutshell, amazing. Well, you know, it struck me when I read that. I said, okay, he created an account. Okay, he created a username. Well, when you create a username, you're able to post to, like, the forum, things like that. But as a typical user, you're not really able to submit blogs or lessons. You have to have the appropriate authority. But you can create an account. And in that account, there's a certain bio field. So I went in, I looked at my users. And sure enough, there's Brandon Mosley. I looked what he wrote. So I wanted to share it with you. And this is what he wrote. This is his quote. I've served 6 years active duty in the United States Army. I completed 2 tours overseas, one in Korea and the other in Iraq. I'm married with a 5-year-old son. I hit rocky roads in my walk with Christ and doubted my salvation due to my lack of knowledge dealing with Hebrews chapter 6 and 10. I came from an interdenominational church that leans toward the charismatic style of teaching. I attended Southern Wesleyan University and working towards an associate degree for science and business and a bachelor's degree from human services. I completed studies and research on cults, splinter groups from Christianity, but am known by no means a scholar in the areas. I began searching the scriptures about the undeserving grace that is bestowed upon believers, looking for hope regarding my state with the Lord. I know my church, organization, pastor, congregation, and direction mean well, but I have many doubts with some of the doctrinal teachings that are preached from the pulpit. I don't want to serve a religion. I want to serve Christ. I love the Lord and want a personal relationship with Him. I ventured across an email while searching on Google, and mentioned the emails from LloydNook@AOL.com, and I believe I found the answer. I've acquired a companion Bible since then, and now seek the truth and prayerfully help and prayerful help from the Spirit of Truth. This has been is the blessing of blessings. I still have many doubts. My salvation is no longer one of them. The questions may arise in doubts along the way. I'm thankful for the faithful servants, vessels, right identifying the word of truth, helping uncover the years of theological mishaps, misguides, misinformation, purposeful degradations, etc. That was his road. He just told us about his road he's taken. The journey he's taking through Christianity, and at some point in time he came to this border called Acts 28:28. Once he crossed that border, everything started making sense. I sent him an email back and said, you know, Mr. Mosley, thank you for sharing this. Many people can't see that because they can't see the bio information. And I had not got a response, but, you know, Brandon, if you're listening, thank you so much for sharing this testimony. But when you look at what he's gone through, his interdenominational church that leans towards charismatic ways. We know about charismatic ways. Confusion come from the Acts period, and certainly resolved by Acts 28:28. We see that what he says about right dividing, helping uncover theological mishaps, misguides, misinformations, and purposeful degradations, etc. We once had a seminar here at church many years ago, and I was asked to get up and teach, and there were some people out of town. I can't remember who they were, but I remember they sat right over there. And I spoke about, you know, I was born and raised in this church, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, well, I have a much greater blessing than you do. I said, well, how do you mean? We're all members of the body of Christ. We have the same blessing and calling. And, you know, I was going on. I said, no, you understand. I was born and raised a Catholic, and I had to undo all the Catholicism to get to where I'm now understanding our calling and right division and the mystery and the position we have in Christ. So he had to go through that. I didn't have to go through that. So hence his statement was, I have a much greater blessing because I had to go through that. So, well, Lord, thank you. I didn't have to go through that. But, you know, I talked to Sarah this week, and she's had several instances where she's been able to witness in her workplace about certain people coming from a Catholic background, not understanding grace. And in her sharing of testimony, she understood where they were coming from and was trying to promote, you know, grace and the Bible and prayer. And, you know, encourage them to pray or to read the scriptures, and not imposing, you know, you better do this, is from the free will. You have the freedom to get the Bible, to read Proverbs and Psalms, and to pray for yourself. And the great peace that comes with that. So, Brandon here shared this his road story, and I was really encouraged by that. Now, there are other several examples in Scripture about a road and journeys taken on that road and certain events coming out of it. But one example, I think, is the road to Egypt. You go to Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 23. You learn about Joseph. Now, we know the first Jew was Abram who became Abraham, and then Isaac and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The youngest son was Joseph, who received a coat of many colors. And his brothers were jealous of him, and they proceeded to reward him by throwing him in a pit. They were contemplating killing him, but said, no, we probably just ought to throw him in a pit. And all of a sudden, somebody came down the road, you see here, in chapter 37, verse 23, and it came to pass that when Joseph was come with his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balms and myrrh, carrying down to Egypt. So here are some Ishmaelites going down a road on the way to Egypt. And Judah and his brethren said, "What profit is it? We slay our brother and steal his blood. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. So then there were passed by Midianites, merchantmen, that drew him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, you think, my gosh, if your brother sold you into slavery on this road to Egypt, Ishmaelites took him. And there are so many examples of what a blessing Joseph was, because he took the position he was in and responded appropriately, and the blessings came out of it to the point where he was number two in Egypt. So, I didn't have time to go into that, but it's such an example of Joseph being on the road, and all of a sudden his brothers put him in a situation where, based on his response, could have been bad or good, but he responded correctly. Okay, now let's talk about the other road, the road from Egypt. Now, Moses. Moses is the second most mentioned person in the Bible. The background of him, he was raised in Egypt. The first 40 years of his life, he was raised in Egypt. He was basically the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh. So he was in the Pharaoh's court, which had, the best education, you know, had the best luxury, had the best anything you could ask for, because he was the number two guy. Well, there was a point where Moses found out he was actually a Hebrew, and he saw some Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew and killed him. So Moses took things in his own way and killed an Egyptian because he was treating a Hebrew, a Jew, poorly. And of course the Jew was concerned because, oh gosh, now it's going to be, the yoke on us is going to be worse because this Egyptian was killed because of a Jew. And Moses fled. So he spent 40 years, the next 40 years, spent in the desert being a shepherd. Now, what's funny about this, Leland, in the Rec Room Lessons, gave a lesson entitled, "What's in Your Hand?" If you get a chance, go back to the website and listen to the Rec Room message, "What's in Your Hand?" Because Leland does a fantastic job talking about Moses and the road he was on at that time. And Moses was a great picture of us, because Moses, you know, Moses was in the Pharaoh's court. He had the best of everything. All of a sudden, now he's a shepherd. Now, as Leland said, a shepherd doesn't require a GED. You know, he said once he took a aptitude test and the results came back, well, you'd make a good shepherd. You know, so a shepherd is really a boring job. So, you know, here Moses is a shepherd now. He's been that way 40 years. So we see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fled to the flock and led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, called even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, where thy bush is not burnt." And the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see God unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And he says, "Well, draw not nigh hither, take your shoes off your feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord God thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land and the good land and the large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Basically all the ites were in that land. And the Lord is recounting the fact that he promised to Abraham he will receive a land of promise, only milk and honey. Now, verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto the Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, wait, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, when they say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, that thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaanites and Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, under a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elder of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and they shall say to him, Lord, thy God of Hebrews, have met with us, and now let us go, and we beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to our Lord our God. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, but by a mighty hand I will stretch forth out my hand and smite Egypt with all wonders which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give you this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Now, drop down to chapter 4, verse 1. Now, when we're on your road, and you know, the Lord calls you. What Moses does here is what we all do. He comes up with excuses. Right? Yeah, but, you know, I'm really not, you know, I'm not that way. You know, I'm not the guy. I'm not the girl. You sure it's me? As it comes up with the excuses, behold, they will not believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared to thee. Come on. And the Lord said to him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So, part of the equipment a shepherd uses is a rod. A rod is simply a broken off stem from a tree. It's a staff that's used for, you know, shepherding sheep. There's no moving parts. It's not, you know, sexy. You know, today, you know, a rod would, you know, be some kind of digital interface to something. I don't know. But a rod. So, what's in your hand, Moses? A rod. Now, you think about this. God called him. He didn't call him and ask him, okay, what's your education? How much money have you made? What? How much money do you have in your pocket? You know, what color are you? Are you the right color? He didn't ask any of those qualification questions. He just called him. And he's a shepherd. Now, when he left Egypt, he didn't take his dowry with him. He had nothing except what's in his hand, a rod. Now, he didn't, when he was going through the objections, he didn't expound on this. Oh, Lord, all I have is this rod. It's kind of a nice rod, but, you know, he just said, a rod. So what does the Lord say? In verse 3, and he said, cast on the ground. When he cast on the ground, it became a serpent. Now, at this time, Moses said, oh my gosh, he fled. So, you know, the rod he'd been holding is now a serpent. Okay, I'm booking it. So the Lord said, wait. He called him back. Well, what do you have to do? Turn around. So, if you're on a road and the Lord's called you, you may have to turn around to do what he wants you to do. Now, he next asked him to pick up the serpent. Now, if you've been around snakes, you don't pick them up by the tail. Right? You pick them up by the head. Well, Moses here was picking up the snake by the tail. So that meant, as he turned around, the snake was fleeing. The serpent was fleeing. So he's able to pick up the snake by the tail. In James chapter 4, you turn there real quick. You know, a serpent is also a simile of the devil, right? The snake, the serpent. In James chapter 4, verse 7, he tells us that submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Paul says, don't give place to the devil. So, here we have scripture, he will flee from you if you resist the devil. Well, the problem is, nowadays, we don't resist him, we assist him. You know, come on, let's sit by me. Let's listen to some music. Let's watch some TV shows. Don't give place to the devil. Resist him. Now, Moses goes on, and he continues to provide excuses. So the Lord goes on and says, okay, you pick up the snake and became a rod in his hand. Now, do this that I may believe that the Lord God is with you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He hath appeared to you. And the Lord furthermore said to him, put now thy hand in thy bosom, and like take your hand and put it in your shirt, and I'll take it back out. Oh my gosh, it's a leopard. And put it back in, and take it back. Oh, it's fine. So, okay, if one example or miracle wasn't enough, he gave him two. You know? In verse 8, it shall come pass when they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will leave the voice of the latter sign. So I've given you the serpent, from the rod from the serpent, and the hand and the breast, and they will believe those. And jump down to verse 10. So here the Lord has given him two signs to work with. And he comes up and he says, Lord, you know, I'm really not eloquent. I don't speak very well. you know, Moses, is he going to list? He's going to listen. You know, and what can I show? I'm not a very good speaker. In verse 11, the Lord said to him, who hath made man's mouth? Don't you think I can give you the words to say? Who maketh the dumb and deaf, or the seeing of the blind? Have I not? Am I not the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what to say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know, he had put up with him quite a bit here. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also he becometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will glad his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, with his mouth, and I will teach you what to say. So Moses is a great example of a guy that was on a road for 40 years. At the end of 40 years, he felt he wanted to do things his way, and he killed an Egyptian. Then the next 4 years, he was on a road where he had nothing. And the Lord called him. And he didn't call him because he was something. He was 40 years of complete nothing. And the Lord called him and said, what's in your hand? A rod. What's in our hands? What do we have? You know, am I one to be called? Well, you have been called. You've been called unto good works. What does that mean? You know, as I listened to Leland teach the Requiem message, he talked about, you know, typically those in prison usually like to get involved in ministries. The more they're in prison, the more ministries like get in. But he says, they come to him and said, man, Leland, I want to get in the ministry. Well, great, there's plenty of openings. Okay, well, we need to raise some money. Well, if you need to raise money for a ministry, you're fooling yourself, because the Lord's not in the money first, ministry business second. He's in the ministry business first, and if it's what God's called you to do, money will be there. The Lord will fund it. So, you know, we're called. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 1, when we talk about the road we're on today, we're members of the body of Christ. We're Gentiles. We're not Jewish. We don't have any relation to Israel. We're not spiritual Israel. We're members of the body of Christ that have a one-on-one relationship with Christ in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. The blessing and callings we have are tremendous. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According to us, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even him. In whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which in the earnest of it inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Jump to the last page of your handout. So here we have Paul, He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. Seven were before Acts 28, and seven were after. The seven after are particular books addressed to us. And chronologically speaking, 2 Timothy was the last book written in the Bible. So Paul, who was on the road to Damascus, who was blinded, was told to go in to see Ananias, and was told to go into kings, Gentiles, kings, and the Jews. And he's now at his journey's end. So Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, "I now therefore, son, my son, be strong in the grace and in Christ Jesus. And the thing which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, if you think about our calling today, I usually talk about this being the fat passage. Faithful, available, teachable. You know, I pray that you are faithful, available, and teachable. That thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. For the husbandman that laboreth must first be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding all things. Remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David, resurrected from the dead according to my gospel. When I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bondsmen, and the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now if you look at that verse 10 through 12, it's talking about if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. So if we accept Christ as our Savior, we basically live in the heavenlies with God through Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. But here we said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So suffering has rewards of reigning. So, suffering. You mean, if I stand up for what's right, I'm going to suffer? You bet you are. Because we're in a worldly system that doesn't like the truth, doesn't like absolutes. And if you stand up for absolutes, you're going to be slayed. Well, if you're faithful in the position that the Lord's given you in Scripture, and you go through that suffering, you're going to reign with Christ. That's my amen. Well, what does it say next? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So, the calling you've been given in the mystery is to make all Christians see this fellowship in mystery. If you don't see that, if you don't believe it, you don't lose your salvation. He's faithful. He cannot deny himself. You're a member of the body of Christ. So as you educate Christians on right division, on Acts 28, on the proper handling of Scripture, you're going to cut some toes. You're going to cut some flesh. You're going to set some uncomfortable things going on. Some will get it, like Brandon Mosley, who shared his journey. And he got it. He's in Acts 28 now. And he's praising everything he's learning because it's now answering the questions he's had gone through. All the frustrations he's had received are all gone away now. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Well, study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, Right Dividing, the word truth. And that's what we are trying to do at RightDivision.com, helping the Christian study to be approved unto God, right dividing the word truth. So ask yourself, what road do you want? You have everything you need to do good works. I don't care if it's a rod in your hand. You have everything you need. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the examples of individuals that were on roads on a certain path and that were affected by some event on the road. Even Saul was called on the road to Damascus and was immediately put in a position where he would be the apostles in the Gentiles and eventually reveal a mystery in Acts 28:28 and Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9, Colossians 1:25 and 26. Thank you for the example of Moses. Thank you for the example in scripture of all the stories of journeys on the road where they were called and had a decision to make. Do I do the right thing or wrong? And no matter what, your plan was accomplished. But thank you for the calling we have, that we might help all people see, all saints see, the fellowship of the mystery, the right division. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.